It's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Welcome to the show. I'm Nima Vidati here in Central Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out in the wilds of Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America.
Occupied by whom?
I don't know. Not quite, it's not quite a cop on every.
This is something I say.
Okay, no, I'll be very, very specific. It's not quite a cop on every corner like New York City's been forever. But you know, there's fusion centers, there's the NSA, there's the TSA, there's the state police, the local police, the federal police, the tribal police in my state. I don't know.
I mean, all the baby welfare recipients that are crying that people are upset about the NSA spying.
What do you mean, Nima? What do you mean, welfare recipients?
Yesterday we were talking about there was an International Police Chiefs Association conference in Philadelphia, and one of the things was them talking about how they're partnering with Facebook, Facebook security chief working with the Police Chiefs Association to can criminal posts. But a related story coming out of the same conference was them being upset that all the people talking about the NSA spying might hinder all of their great new toys and technologies they use to goon us all the time. And Glenn Greenwald tweeted a story about I can't remember if it was a Pentagon official or a national security official saying that he thinks all the reporting on the NSA story should stop. In terms like that, like how scary is that? He's like, I think this journalism should stop.
How Stalinistic is that, man? But let me just play devil's advocate here and be one of like 80 or 90% of Americans. But Nima,
not even that anymore. Polls say like 60% of Americans are more concerned with NSA spying than they are with terrorism.
Okay, as they should be, because your chances of getting hurt by a terrorist in America are about 1/11th your chance of being murdered by a police officer here.
Yep.
And we're not saying all cops are bad. It's just like, you know, 92-93% of them, something like that. But let me play devil's advocate for a minute here. But Nima, I have nothing to hide. Why should I care if the government reads my mail and listens to my phone calls and has cameras in my house?
Because then they have an incentive to use that information against you. There's a bumper sticker that says the NSA is spying on your congressman since 1950 or whenever they started. Yeah. The thing is it's they're spying on you in the sense that they're building a whole picture of your life, your day-to-day activity. And they may not be analyzing it right now, depending on who you are or who you aren't. But they have all that. So at any point in time, say you're getting audited.
After they outlaw guns and all the fishermen say, well, I can at least fish now, and then they outlaw fishing to protect the animals and the environment, and because the United States takes over and all the governments take over all the wild areas and don't let people use them much or at all. And they got cops out there too, man. We go out shooting at that place out here. You know, the time we're out there shooting with that 50 cal, that guy came up and it was like, you know, kind of checking it out, but then he's like, I want to fire it. Can I fire it?
Did we let him shoot it? I can't remember.
Yeah. He was from the Department of Fish and Hog. No, he was from, what's the federal, Bureau of Land Management?
The BLM.
I can't even, I don't even know anymore. And you know what? That basically comes down to the fact that I don't even know what Obama's done to me today. And that's why we have a jingle somewhere, if I can find it. Anyway. And you know, they do spy on your congressman. And what that means is they can have a McCarthyistic list and blackmail congressmen. Like, we're going to tell people about your secret accounts and your secret lover on the side if you don't vote this way on Obamacare.
Not only that, but this isn't just pie in the sky fantasy, us talking out of our butts here. Reuters has reported that the DEA gets a hold of all this NSA information, and then they'll drop hints to local law enforcement or state law enforcement, basically tipping off people for drug war things or anything else that's minor stuff, you know, stuff that's not terrorism, stuff that's not protecting you from enemies of America or whatever you want to call it, just basic law enforcement stuff. And then they do what some have called justice laundering, and the local police will have to make up lies about how and why they stopped this person or found this person because they don't want to tip their hat that they were actually looking at NSA spying information.
Yeah, look what Obama's done to you today. You know, that's a thought I've been having for 6 years now. I think Obama's only been president for 5 years, but for I'll just stretch it to 6 years because it's so horrible. Like the, and I had to write that little tune for that and record that with my wife. It's to the point where like, when Obama got elected, you know, we were all afraid he's going to take his gun, our guns. I actually wrote him an open letter and published it. This is back when I cared about talking to politicians and thought it made a difference. I published an open letter on my blog, an open letter to Barack Obama. And I didn't even say Hussein. I didn't put that in there. I just said Barack Obama. And I gave a well-reasoned, please don't violate our constitutional rights. Please, master, beat me more gently. And but I put that the day he was elected, I published that on my blog, and they haven't kicked in my door yet. But the first year he was president, like every week there was something in the news that just blew my mind that he did. Like how can that's like Bush didn't even do stuff like that till his last year. That's horrible. What's he doing? And that was, and I look back fondly when there was only one thing a week that Obama did that shocked me to the core. Now it's like 10 things a day. I finally just had to write a song to introduce our little bits of, look what Obama's done to you today. And the NSA did not start with Obama, but he could stop it. Any president, when you want to blame something on a previous president, okay, economic things are a little different, but things with bad laws and bad organizations that presidents could defund or dissolve with a stroke of their I am God pen and not go through Congress. Basically, if something's still around, you own it. That's what I think.
Yeah. Barack Obama could – all the horrible things that people complain, you know, Democrats, liberals complain about Barack Obama. Oh, he can't do this or he can't do that because the mean old Republicans won't let him.
Horse hockey.
Yeah, horse hockey. He could close Guantanamo today. There it's actually written in the law that he has the power to waive the keeping of Guantanamo open, or at least the keeping of prisoners in Guantanamo.
But
prisoners
Nima,
who have been cleared for release.
There you go.
Prisoners who have been found by a court to be completely innocent of any wrongdoing and are cleared for release are still sitting, rotting in Cuba.
That's not very American. You know what else isn't very American? Spying on Americans, spying on everybody. Yeah. You know, I don't want to say it's like the Nazis, although someone says NSA stands for Nazi Service Administration.
Well, it's gotten to the point where it's worse than the Nazis.
It is. The Nazis wish that they could have spied on everybody without putting microphones in their homes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, in the future, people won't compare Barack Obama to Hitler. People will compare Hitler to Barack Obama.
And if people think they have nothing to feel like, I got nothing to hide. I don't care. Think about this, okay? If you finally found the president who's cool and likes all your weird hobbies and habits and hasn't outlawed them and won't try to throw you in prison for him, think about the fact that 20 years from now, like Jeb Bush's son might be president, and all the records of the fact that you had that weird hobby back now will still be around. And who knows what the government will look like then.
Right. Weird hobby or anything. I mean, it leads to crazy stuff. I mean, stuff that you wouldn't even imagine could happen, say, even 10 years ago. Or
like
even,
outlawing salt, swearing, and fatty foods completely, like felony. Like in that movie Demolition Man.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is some goons looking at data, you know, from computer searches or things like that, they don't know the whole picture. They react. They're reactionary.
Yeah, like today.
And they get things wrong.
This morning I was searching on Google for explanations of terrorist front organizations, and then another article on how terrorist front organizations fund terrorism and funnel the money. And that would look really weird to somebody who only saw that part of the picture and didn't know I'm a talk show host who wants to talk about those things.
Exactly.
And say, you know, and not support those things at all. But
well,
talk
there's
about
the headline
them.
That might as well come from The Onion that we talked about a month or two ago of the couple, the husband and wife, and one of them was Googling backpacks because he was a hiker. And in the other room, his wife was Googling pressure cookers because she's a wife and she cooks. And they got a knock on their door by men in a scary black SUV with a big box of nothing in their trunk.
Yeah, we want to talk about the big box of nothing. We found out from an inside source of a cousin of a brother-in-law of somebody who's a FBI counterterrorism person. And they said that the FBI counterterrorism people have to carry a big box with them everywhere they go. It's a big plastic locked box that can't be open. It has a key, but the key alone won't open it. It has a satellite uplink. And when the central scrutinizer somewhere says it's time for you to open your magic box, they press a button and the box will open with the key then. And they have to bring it in when they come to like Thanksgiving dinner. They can't leave it in the truck, even though they leave automatic weapons in their truck. So it's more scary and dangerous and precious than automatic weapons to be kept out of the hands of the people, according to the government. And we really wonder what's in it. And, you know, you said a naked picture of Steve Martin. You said nothing. I was going with nothing. Like, it's nothing. It's just to make people believe there's something scary that they have to take.
Yeah.
And we came up with a name for it yesterday after the show. I called it the Ark of the State. You know, like the Ark of the Covenant was the box that carried the Ten Commandments. The Ark of the State is the box that's empty. It carries nothing except the illusion of the state. Now, tell the difference between the state and the government.
Oh, hold on. I just got Ark. Yesterday, I was like, why is it called an Ark? Is it a boat? No, it's a vessel. It's a vessel. Is it more generic?
I'm broadcasting from a windowless Ark at an undisclosed location.
No, because I think it has to be a portable vessel. I'm not sure.
Hey, you don't know what I'm in. I'm in Wyoming. You're in Texas. I didn't mean to sound sarcastic. I didn't mean like you're in Texas. You're far away.
You're in a UBO, yeah. An unidentified bunker object.
You don't have the cameras in here like the NSA does. You don't know what room I'm in. I could be in my backyard in my new portable amphibious vehicle broadcasting studio.
You could be. Yeah. So the question was the difference between the state and the government. So the state, you know, and when we take this sort of from Ben Stone, and I think other people talk about it now, too. The state is the mindset, right? That's the religion, the theology that that we have this system of organization and hierarchy that is necessary for the organization of society. So we might as well just live with it. And having a president that has the ability to kill you at his whim is the only way to organize society. That is the state. The government is the people who actually carry it out. They're the boots on the ground. They're your local DMV agents. Probably people who are believers in the state, but aren't necessarily.
Not all of them, man. I've talked to several soldiers lately who are like, I just did this because I needed a job, man.
Paycheck, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's hard to find jobs elsewhere, but the government's always going to be printing, at least until they can't anymore. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends. Using government-printed funny money fuels and encourages wars abroad, and the wars at home against you and all you hold dear. Why should you remain beholden to self-appointed federal kings who don't care if you starve in a cage? Become your own king today by owning gold and silver from Midas Resources. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Midas Resources banner over on the right, or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
It Yes, thank you for sticking with us. Hopefully you bought everything that was advertised in that market segment, or at least listened. We are Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end. And we will actually hand out the call-in show. We take calls sometimes. I wouldn't call us open phones or a call-in show. But
no, we're closed every phones. Now and then, it's a scarce we'll resource, like all calls were when I was a little boy. Because I'm old and Nima's young. I'm almost 50 and Nima's almost 30. So
That makes me not that young anymore. I'm youngish.
Well, you're younger. They're gonna drone you eventually. You'll never make it to 50.
Fiend drone. Fiend drone.
Oh no! No! Oh! Yeah, that's you don't even have drone. That much head time in a real droning, though, do you?
No,
you just don't know.
It's I don't know. You're
one,
hearing
one,
the sound.
One second your eyes are open, the next second
they're melted,
you cease to exist.
Vaporized, yeah. Well, you might hear it. Depends how low it's going. They can go high enough that you wouldn't hear them, but in that one it sounds like a crop duster, like it's, you know, 200 feet up or something. Who knows? Yeah. So we want to talk about printable guns. We want to talk about good stuff instead of scary stuff, bad stuff. Talk about printable guns. I was watching, first of all, I was watching CSI. I like good TV drama.
Ooh.
I like good TV drama. And unfortunately, most of the good TV drama is cop shows, goon shows, and cop shows and government goon shows. That's unfortunate. If there was some Liberty good TV, I'd watch it. I mean, I think Firefly kind of was.
I don't understand how it's good, though. That totally sours the milk for
me. You have to suspend statism, basically. Suspension of statism. So anyway, I was watching CSI. So anyway, I was watching CSI season 4, you know, from like 10 years ago. And it was a really good show. And then like when they finally caught the horrible multiple murderer, multiple rapist guy and had him in custody and they took his DNA and came back and said, well, you're going to prison for life and then some because your DNA proves that you did it. And he just kind of looked glassy-eyed and said, the government wants to take your DNA so they can put it in a database and follow you with cameras. Like, basically implying not only, hey, if you got nothing to hide, why do you care if the government spies on you all the time and has your DNA mm-hmm. and has cameras everywhere? But that if you even have any inkling of not liking the government spying on you all the time, you're probably a multiple murderer and rapist and stupid because the guy sounded stupid. Yeah. And then there's a more modern CSI from about a year ago where the killer was using printable guns, which is something that was come up with by our friend in Texas, Cody Wilson, who we've interviewed on the show before. Printable guns. And he's got a letter from the government saying you can't tell people how to make printable guns, but the designs are already out. And, you know, they say that taking anything off the internet is like taking pee-pee out of a swimming pool with a spoon. You can't do it, man. It's done. It's out there. And
he won already. You can't unwin it.
Yeah.
Or he can't unwin.
And it's interesting because these cop shows, like their thing is always like ripped from the headlines. Like they, you know, the writers just look at the newspaper and then kind of exaggerate and fictionalize.
Make stuff up.
Something that really happened.
Like a blogger.
Right.
Like us.
But nobody has yet killed anybody that we know of with a printable gun. But in two shows, one is CSI and another is Elementary, which is a modern Sherlock Holmes. In that one, someone kills someone with a printable gun then dissolves all the parts in plastic solvent. So there's no evidence. But we want to talk about some good stuff with printable guns is the market. The free market has actually come up with variations on the Liberator pistol. And
yes,
they're the Liberator Compact, the Liberator Hydra Rifle, the Liberator Pepper Box, and the Cerebus Liberator. Talk a little about these, Nima.
Yeah, well, as you can see, one of the things about the Liberator is it was single shot, just like that. It's, I guess, predecessor,
namesake.
The actual metal.
Namesake and inspiration.
Namesake.
The CIA-designed Liberator that was dropped into Europe. To people defend against Nazis by shooting them up close and taking their rifle and their chocolate bars.
Yes, but one shot, man, it's not the best situation. You want to have more than that. I mean, modern semi-auto pistols, you know, you put 17 in most of them.
Yeah.
So, or 16
and they're a lot
plus
more,
one.
They're a lot more aimable than a plastic gun with no rifling in the barrel. in the plastic bill.
Yes. So people have taken Cody's designs and ran with them. We have the Liberator Hydra, which has, I guess, the ability to have more than one shot because it has more than one barrel. Same with the Pepper Box, which is the old configuration. It's like four barrels that rotate.
Yeah, you know, that's
kind
how,
of like a revolver, but the barrels rotate.
Yeah, the first guns that were more than one shot back in the day used multiple barrels. The first machine gun did. The Gatling gun was rotating barrels, and you know, the minigun and the and revolvers. You know, the Pepper Box revolver actually had multiple barrels. And we'll have more.
And so this cuts out the middleman. It keeps the politician out of your self-defense transaction because they shouldn't be there in the first place. Come on, guys. Get real. We'll be back after this trip to the markets.
Call in at 855-660-4261.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, this is Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I'm Nima Vidotti here in Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. How's it going, Mr. Dean?
I'm good. I live out in the country because I'm a grown man. You live in the Austins because you're a young, unkempt hipster. You don't really live in Austin anymore, though.
I have long hair, but it's kempt. I don't have dreadlocks yet.
You kind of look like Jesus these days.
My wife was debating whether or not to grow dreadlocks because she's planning on being a stay-at-home mom for the next few years. So
I thought you were going to be a stay-at-home dad. Could. I thought she was going to go be the worker.
Yeah, well, if I could make money staying at home, which I can't yet.
Make money staying at home, stuffing envelopes. That used to be ads in magazines when I was a kid. When I was a kid, people scammed you before the internet. They published things in magazines,
really?
And they sent you letters in the mail, like, yes, only send $99 and we'll set you up to make thousands per week at home stuffing envelopes.
Government spam, because the post office delivered it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is kind of a call-in show sometimes. If you want to make it one today, you can give us a call at 1-855-660-4261. Once again, that's 1-855-660-4261. See, I said it real slow there so that you can write it down or think about it with your brain parts.
So these days, the kids, you kids, you unkempt youngsters, you use the Facebooks. You like the Facebooks, huh?
I like the Facebooks, yeah.
I actually met you. I don't want to say I met you on MySpace. That sounds really like romantic or something.
Creepy?
Yeah, it does. But I met you. I actually heard about a hip hop video you did called I Own Me, which I wrote to you and said,
classic.
I contacted you on MySpace, back in the day, and on the FaceSpace, and we got together and recorded some hip hop songs that, hip hop punk rock songs that turned into the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. And then, later we got together with my 91-year-old dad and made a feisty hip hop song called Obama's Feet Stink, which is it's got a sample of my 91-year-old dad saying, Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink.
Feet stink.
Feet stink. Yeah. Pretty cool song. Yeah. If you want to, if people want to go on the YouTubes and search for Obama's Feet Stink, you'll get that. What's the other one we did?
Although, the full title is Obama's Feet Stink and Romney Likes the Smell. It was during the election, and we don't want to make it sound like we don't like Barack Obama because his middle name is Hussein. Because I have a good friend, and his last name is Husseini, which is just the last name version of Hussein. It's a pretty common thing. It's like the name Smith in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So I don't really care that Barack's middle name is Hussein. I don't think he's a secret Muslim, because he kills all sorts of Muslims. You know, from every end of the spectrum. So it's not like he's some partisan Muslim and he's only killing Shias, only killing Sunnis. Not.
Yeah, Obama's not.
He's equal opportunity murderer.
Obama's not a Muslim. If he were, he wouldn't be killing all the different kinds of Muslims and blowing up teenage boys because their dad is a bad guy. American teenage boys. Think about that, man.
American teenage boys that went to high school and were in high school clubs.
In Colorado.
Like somebody, your all-American white blonde daughter could have had a study session with. You know, not like a dirty study session, but like a let's figure out how to pass this algebra quiz kind of study session.
Man.
Yeah. Eviscerated by a Hellfire missile.
Yeah.
That guy.
That is horrible. And he didn't build that. Bush started doing that. Bush started the drone program, but it was actually in the works since the 50s. There's some people who say that the crash and the cover-up at Roswell was actually not an alien. It was experimental aircraft that maneuvered in ways that conventional aircrafts couldn't, and people seeing them at night thought they were UFOs because they could zig and zag. And that one of them crashed and a test pilot was burnt and melted into, you know, with his helmet on and
His helmet, yeah.
And a civilian doctor or nurse who was there helping do an autopsy thought it was an alien because he was so disfigured. And I believe that whole bit. And I do know that is
way more believable than aliens. And I have puffy hair, so I should know.
Yeah, the aliens aren't going to come until 4 years from now. Well, a little more than that, because the nearest planet that could be habitable is in the Alpha Centauri region, which is 4.5 light years away. And now that the Freedom Fiends are on radio, and radio waves from terrestrial radio does leak into space and keeps going. And it'll take 4.5 years for our signal to get to that planet. And we've been on the radio for about a half a year now. So in 4 years, they'll get it. They'll hear the Freedom Fiends. They'll hear our show and go, oh, wait, there is intelligent, reasonable life on that planet. And they'll send their emissaries down to meet Nima and I and give them their technology to save humanity. I don't believe
Are there Earth-like planets near Alpha Centauri?
I don't believe any of that.
You always like to say it.
Wouldn't it be nice if there was a great man that could save us from space? There is a possibly habitable planet. It's hard to tell at that distance, you know. They haven't sent a rover there yet. They sent one to Mars, though, man, and the pictures look incredibly high def, but it kind of just looks like Utah to me.
I don't think Colorado, they could send a rover. If they sent a rover to it, we'd all be dead by the time it even got close to landing or sending back
4.5 light years. Yeah, that would take – we can't travel at light year speed. The human race or America. Yeah. So Facebook, we were talking yesterday about how there's police commissions meeting with Facebook to try to work out a way for police to remove illegal content from Facebook, you know, stuff that they don't like or like stuff they just don't like or stuff that's illegal, even if it shouldn't be illegal. They want to be able to like block when you want to organize a protest against when the police murder somebody or when the government's trying to take your guns or whatever. If you want to organize a protest via Facebook, there are police commissions around the world and in America, and especially in Chicago. But what starts in Chicago spreads everywhere. And they want to be able to like on their little chromed robot phone, their little Android, they want to be able to press a button and delete your posts or your account or a drone eventually, a drone app. War, there's an app for that. Yeah, they want to be able to do that, and they're getting closer to being able to do that. And then later in the show, we were talking about how I was complaining that, like, you know, we have over 1,000 friends on our Facebook page. Scott Horton has 5,000 friends on his Facebook page. And lately, when we post something, like, it's like crickets. You can hear the crickets chirping. Like, one or two people see it. Like, and it's not that people aren't liking it because it's not cool. It's people who've signed up because they think our stuff is cool. And Scott Horton is like that, too. And he posts his new episode and gets zero likes out of 5,000 people. So, obviously, they're not showing it to everyone who signed up. And you said you thought it was maybe just they're trying to, like, get money. Like, for $30, you can promote this post and show it to the people who want to see it.
Yeah, it could be both, but that's what I think it is more than anything, is Facebook wants to make money. They want you to spend the $30 to promote your post. So what they're doing is, if they see, or if the program sees that you're always posting links to your website, you know, somehow they can figure out, well, hey, the guy's name is Scott Horton. His website is scotthorton.org, or these are the Freedom Fiends. They constantly post links to this.
I don't
they're
know, just man.
Promoting
I wanna
their
know,
own stuff.
I want to know if there's anybody listening. I doubt it, but if there's anybody listening who has like a Obama is great Facebook page where they only post links to their own Obama is great Facebook page, I'll bet they get shared far and wide. You know, but the thing we didn't connect yesterday was maybe that police being able to block things is kind of already happening, in that if you're posting stuff that's feisty about the administration or the government, maybe the Facebook either has, you know, worked with the Obama administration to just not show it to anybody, or there's an act, or it's just like Obama lickers who work at Facebook have decided to do that. I don't know. And it could be either.
How would they do that, though? They'd figure out what you post, like, because they're not going to sit there and look at every post.
They probably
have, or hire somebody to do that.
They would probably have keywords, and when they see someone starting to get popular and these keywords are in their post, they'd look at them. They'd have a person look at it and decide, okay, this is not what we want people to see.
This is
going to
be on a white list or a black list.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a really weird kind of censorship. It's almost worse than out-and-out censorship, because you don't know what's happening at first, and you keep putting effort into things that are useless. You know, that'd be a good psychological war technique for the war government to use against the people. Not even just gaslighting, but like, you know, like you think you're broadcasting and you're not. They just turn off the transmitter on the internet, kind of. But I had another thought, too, was wouldn't it be funny if what it really is when you post something complaining about Obama, not only do you get something that says, you know, if you're complaining about Obama, you get something that says, for $30, you can promote this post. Maybe at the same time, someone who loves Obama gets a thing that says, for $30, you can make sure no one sees this post.
Well, we talked about that before, like people wanting their pictures of their drunken exploits removed from their page, having to pay some kind of money. You know, you can't delete it at some point.
There was an Onion article, or there's a site like
that
Onion.
Was it.
It's a humor article, and people believed it and shared it widely. And then Facebook probably stopped
as if it
allowing
were real.
It to share it. Yeah, as if it were real, that like there's a new service where for money you can get your pictures of you taken off other people's Facebook page.
Right, right. That was like a Facebook joke. Blackmail.
Yeah.
Speaking of, while we're on the subject of Facebook and internet sites,
I wanted to talk about,
I guess we both did, there's a list of the top 10 most pirated movies of the week, and I guess it updates every week,
and this isn't
it's
just
really interesting to look at.
It's not just a site of like, hey, where can I go find stuff that's pirated? It doesn't even link them, but it shows why the free market isn't really dealing with the things the way they should, and why the pirate free market is taking up the slack. Explain that.
Well, it is. I consider Pirate Bay the market. I mean, it's more the market than the IP-controlled industry, the entertainment industry, which is besieged by government regulations and various trade protectionism and things like that. They're failing to deliver the media, the goods, the scarce resources that people want, which aren't scarce anymore because of things like Pirate Bay. So there's a list of 10, and we'll go through them real quick. It's The Man of Steel, Pacific Rim, Despicable Me 2, White House Down, The Lone Ranger, something I can't say on the radio, Elysium, Two Guns, The Internship, and Monsters University. And on the list, it's got three columns. One says streaming, digital rental, digital purchase. These are legitimate outlets, and almost all of them are X's. So like The Man of Steel, you can't stream it right now. You can't digitally rent it. You can't digitally purchase it. And it's the number one most pirated movie this week. It's pirated because people might be willing to pay for it. They might be willing to pay for it and decent money too, to where The Man of Steel folks, creators, could actually make a profit. But they're not allowing it. So people say, well, I'll just go get it by other means, which are completely peaceful. They're not hurting anybody. They're using ones and zeros to transfer that media to their own hard drive. So I don't buy the anti-piracy argument at all, and I think this is great proof of that. Go to piracydata.org if you want to look at it yourself. You can be your own judge. And we'll be back from the market in just a bit.
Yeah.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Federal Reserve notes only have value because of a collective hallucination, whereas gold and silver are real, and so is their value. Gold and silver predate government-printed funny money, and they will undoubtedly outlive government-printed funny money. Get some gold and silver into your hands from Midas Resources by going to freedomfiends.com right now and clicking on the Midas Resources banner over on the right. Or go to gold.freedomfiends.com. That's gold.freedomfiends.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, it's Freedom Fiends,
yeah.
Live talk radio show. How's everybody doing? I hope you're doing well. It's the end of hour one, so if you're listening to us live, we do appreciate it. You can always go check out archives if you want to listen to stuff you missed or anything like that. Go to freedomfiends.com. Our most recent show is always up as an MP3 that you can download for your chromed robot turd. Re-listen to it again, or if you want to listen to the whole thing because you're just catching a glimpse and you're like, hey, those guys talk kind of weird and cool sometimes. Download it. Listen to it while you're in your truck doing real man's work, or doing whatever you do, man.
Yeah, and we have buttons too. We have great Freedom Fiends buttons, and we're having a sale through Halloween. If you go to the freedomfiends.com website, that's freedom, second word is Foxtrot Echo Echo November Sierra .com, freedomfiends.com. Click on the link at the top that says buttons. You can get 10 buttons for $10. That's pretty awesome. And buttons are better than t-shirts or stickers or anything because they're inexpensive, they're great, and they last for like 30 years, man. I know people that have punk rock buttons from the actual 70s that they still have on a jacket.
The actual 70s? That was an actual thing?
Like if you don't wash them, if you don't wash the buttons, you take them off when you wash the jacket. Like, they've had to replace the jacket and get a new jacket because it wore out to put the same buttons on. And we do need a Python programmer, and that's not a snake charmer. That's we need someone that can program in the computer language Python. So if that's you and you want to do something interesting for the world and liberty, write to talkback@freedomfiends.com. Let us know about your Python handling experience.
It's
not a joke, that. People. That's real. There's a language of computer programming called Python. So, yeah.
We get it.
Yeah, you're going to talk about something that happened in my state that I can't see because my local paper has a paywall, and I don't want to pay $9 a month to see news of what my bureaucrats are doing to me because I can't do anything about it. Those people listen to you and care less what you think than the people in Washington. I swear, all these people who want to like, well, I want to get government down to a local level. No, man, the local ones are the worst because they have the PTA moms who want to bomb everyone back to the Stone Age, and they finally got a little bit of power somehow. And I mean, they can take your house, you know, like there's committees of five people, three of them can vote 3-2 and take your house just because they want to.
Yeah.
And that's in the Constitution. You know, when people say the Constitution is the best document ever, I point out eminent domain and I say, go talk to someone who's had their ranch taken.
Yes.
Or recently there was a mind blowing one. It was some city took a privately owned parking lot by eminent domain. And it's usually to turn it, it used to be like turn it into a hospital or a road or something everyone needs to use. But like,
it doesn't have to be that anymore. There was a Supreme Court case that they built a strip mall and they said, well, it can somewhat help the general good because I guess, you know, it'll help our tax base.
Yeah. But this one was even sillier. It was they took a private parking lot, like bulldozed it, and then put up a public parking lot.
It cut out the middleman. Yes, the money goes directly to us. We don't have to steal it from two people. We could just steal it from one person. Wow.
Happened in my state that I can't see because I don't want to pay to read my local stupid news?
Well, you don't have to. It's a really good point. All you have to do is copy and paste the headline and everybody else wrote about it too because it's an important story. It's an important story. And there's been a lot of creepy stuff happening with the nuke stuff. I mean, there's been Obama. You could play the jingle if you wanted to. But Obama administration has fired some people in charge of the nukes.
Fiend drone.
Wrong clip.
Well, that's what's going to happen if the nukes get into the wrong hands. All right, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, a while back, the military fired. I don't think they fired him. I actually think they just took him out of that post, and he got a job in somewhere else. And I think the reason they gave, or I guess you have to assume, he wasn't doing his job right. And this is the guy that's in charge of the nukes. And one thing I think people should remember is, it's not a high prestige thing to be in the nuclear department of the military because they don't ever get to do anything. They're not the ones to actually get to bomb countries.
They arrested that guy for using counterfeit chips at a Vegas casino when in fact like something like 10% of all chips at casinos are counterfeit.
That was a different guy. A different guy. There was two guys.
Well, Obama did something with like stocking the pond with his guys who have their finger on the nuke. That's like this scary. That's far scarier than he wants to take your guns, man. That's his answer.
It's even scarier than that because the most recent story is Air Force officers entrusted with the launch keys to long-range nuclear missiles have been caught twice this year, leaving open a blast door that is intended to help prevent a terrorist or other intruder from entering the underground command post. So they've left the door open to their windowless bunker so anybody could just walk in. And these are the guys that have their finger on the button.
We'll have more on this in hour two on the Freedom Fiends, by the way. If you want to stick around or if it's not on your radio in the second hour, go to freedomfiends.com and listen online. You can do that, too. Because we're kind of leaving them a cliffhanger of like, we're all going to die. And we're not. We have redemption in the second hour. So stick around.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Ladies, gentlemen, and fiends. This is the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. I am Nima Vadati here. Wow, why are you laughing?
This is Michael W. Dean broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I was laughing because I was thinking, ladies, gentlemen, and politicians.
Yes.
Ladies, gentlemen, and people who work for the government and are paid to sit in a cubicle and listen to us and monitor us.
Yeah,
they're not ladies or gentlemen.
It's Heinlein's thing, right? There's two kinds of people. There's the kind of people who want to control and be controlled, and there's the kind of people who want none of that action.
You and I had a long phone conversation about that yesterday. I mean, we basically have a talk show, whether it's being broadcast or recorded or not. Yeah. We had a long, feisty discussion about the left-right paradigm of looking at politics, and more and more and more, there's not that much difference between the left and the right.
Yeah, when we left you, we were talking about a story. The AP actually reported, I think, what you were talking about in your local paper. They didn't do that work. There's no journalist there that could get the story of nuclear blast doors being left open.
Well, yeah, this was in Wyoming, right? It was in Cheyenne.
It was in Wyoming, but it was Wyoming's AP reporter who actually broke it. The Casper Star Tribune reposted it and then put it behind a paywall.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't build that. And I want to say there's a book out there called Moulin Labe by Boston Tea Party. It's an excellent book, excellent novel. And here's a spoiler alert. So put your fingers in your ears for 10 seconds. There's, about 20 seconds. So, and they're already in their ears, so they're going to come back and they're not going to go. Anyway.
Hurry up.
A bunch of patriots have some Air Force personnel who are patriotic and don't like the march to socialism of the government. And they basically steal three nukes from the Cheyenne nuke bunker. They don't use them. They don't deploy them. They just park them in D.C. And all of a sudden, Wyoming is left alone. And it's still technically part of the Union, but it becomes its own, like, leave me alone.
Yeah, it's a de facto lib pair.
Yeah, liberty paradise.
Yes. Which
and it's fiction. We're not suggesting anyone do that. But it does. Right, you know. Right. I guess it's playing on the idea that the countries that have nukes get left alone more and get money from the government. It's kind of like everyone's blackmailing everyone.
Yeah. The thing about nukes is they're completely horrible, indiscriminate killing. And the ones that are at the arsenal, like the ones that are pointed at places now. They are so much bigger than what happened to Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Yeah. Like the bombs at Nagasaki and Hiroshima are like the firing pin, literally, for some of these giant H-bombs. Things that could obliterate everybody and their mothers and their babies in Houston. And speaking of babies, I want to sort of throw this in with the mix. And the mix, right here, as the AP describes it, is there's been a series of problems with the ICBM, that's Intercontinental Ballistic Missile Force. There's been a failed safety inspection, the temporary sidelining of launch officers deemed unfit for duty, the firing last week of the two-star general in charge, and as you described, that's the guy who was ostensibly fired for some bunk poker chips or something ridiculous like that. There's apparently low morale because nobody – I guess in the military culture, and correct me if I'm wrong. I might be way off. This is just what I've heard, is that the people in the nuke force, that's not where they want to be. People want to have the prestige of being in the action. Well, you know, they want to be the ones calling the shots, not the ones who sit in a department that's never going to do anything.
Waiting to destroy the world. Yeah, right. And there's also low morale because a lot of people join the military because they believe, you know, my country, right or wrong, I want to serve my country. And very quickly, in a matter of a couple years here, 4 years, 5 years, the country is looking very different to people who are keeping an eye on it. And all of a sudden, like those people who joined the military, all of a sudden Barack Obama is their boss. He is literally the commander in chief. He is the CEO of the Army. When you're in the Army, the Air Force, any of those branches, the president is your boss's 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 boss. And there are people called Oath Keepers who are considered terrorists by the Southern Poverty Law Center and by the government, who they advise, who are basically soldiers who reiterate the fact that they have taken an oath to the Constitution, not to the president, and they won't follow unconstitutional orders. Like, look at about how the National Guard of, I think it was Ohio, went down to the same people. If it is Ohio, that's the people that shot unarmed protesters in the 60s. The Ohio National Guard went down to Katrina and confiscated guns from peaceful people door to door. That's ridiculous, man. That is not oath keeping at all.
No, No. And the nation's nuclear squad is basically – imagine the post office. Imagine the DMV being in charge of what can literally destroy all life on the planet. Does that blow your mind now? Blow your mind yet? That the same people who you complain about doing all this stuff, they're the ones who can fall asleep and leave the door open to where somebody can just press a button, destroy all of humanity.
And when you say they left a blast door open, that's not a door that can stop a nuclear blast. That's a door that...
No, it's a door that would keep a terrorist or somebody out of the control room.
From using a grenade or an RPG to get in there and launch it.
Yeah. Right. And speaking of getting in there, that's, you know, there's other layers of security. You know, the blast door is just one layer of security.
There's a password. It's probably like Michelle or something.
Right. Well, there's also getting into the base, which people would imagine, oh, it's a military base, and, you know, it's hard to even get to the base to where you could get into the bunker, to where you could get to the room, to where you could get to the blast door. But 83-year-old nun and her associates of similar age have broken into military bases that carry the bomb-grade uranium in Tennessee. They recently, in May, I think, were convicted of it.
She was a protester. But the story goes, she wasn't trying to blow anything up. Yeah.
No. Three elderly protesters, pacifistic protesters, were able to break into the layers of security and get to the warehouse where all of the nuclear material is stored.
A nun. You know,
a nun.
I got to say, Nima Vidati, I really like Christians who protest war instead of wanting to bomb the Holy Land back to the Middle Ages like a lot of Christians do. Who would Jesus nuke?
Yeah, nobody. That's the answer. Jesus would never have built a nuke program, or he would have done a peaceful one like that in Iran. But yeah, Sister Megan Rice, go ahead and Google it. These are the people that were convicted of it. Sister Megan Rice, Michael Wally, and Greg Bortigi.
Okay, you just said,
Megan Rice would be the easiest to Google.
You just let something slip that requires explanation. You said a peaceful nuclear program like Iran. Most Americans believe that's not true and that Iran wants to obliterate Israel back to the Stone Age. Now explain why that's not true and how that came to be believed.
People say that Iran is working towards a bomb, but it's politicians who say that. It's people who say it based on no fact or just saying what other people want to hear, what they think will help scare people into electing them to take a hard line on it. But both the intelligence agencies, the intelligence assessment of the United States intelligence agencies, and even Israel's say that Iran stopped working on weaponized atomic weapons back in, I think it was 2003 at least. You know, I think it might have been before that.
There was also a classic blunder of bad journalism, which was that somebody accidentally or intentionally mistranslated Ahmadinejad when he was speaking at some point on TV and said, he basically said, I look forward to a time when the Israeli state doesn't exist. He meant when they don't have the government power to aggress on, you know, non-Israeli people, all their neighbors, basically.
And, he basically said the Zionist regime there will cease to exist at some point.
Yeah, and he did not mean the people will be wiped off the map, and it was mistranslated. Well, how did they mistranslate it?
Of course it was.
And never corrected.
Well, it became that we're going to wipe Israel off the map, which is not at all what he meant or said. And I think he's a bad guy because he's a politician. You know, I'm no fan of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, even though I like to say his name because it's fun. he's a liar. He's a politician. He is the one in charge, or was the one in charge, of goons that did horrible things to the Iranian people. So he's a bad guy. But that doesn't mean that Iran all of a sudden by default is creating nuclear weapons. There's been inspectors there. People act like there's not inspectors there. But they're in full compliance with the IAEA. They're trying to work out a deal now. The new president, the new foreign minister have said, hey, you know what? We've already got enough 20% enriched uranium, which they've been using for their medical isotope. You know, people keep saying it's diverted, but they've used all of it toward – it's all accounted for going towards the medical isotope program. And they say they have enough of it now to where they don't even need to enrich it anymore. So they're basically saying, yeah, we'll stop that thing that you guys are upset about.
What happens a lot is that politicians just get this libido dominandi to kill massive amounts of men, women, and children in a foreign land.
Yeah.
because they don't like them because they're different and talk funny. And they're unstoppable once they start thinking that. A really good example is Japan being bombed by the nuclear war, by the first bomb. The United States was like, we're going to do it. We have to do it. We saved millions of lives. We took 5 years off the war. That's one of the biggest lies ever, man. Japan was ready to surrender and willing to surrender. And the U.S. had already built this nuke, and they wanted to try out their new toy and kill a bunch of babies.
Yep, yep. And the thing about Japan's surrender is if they weren't about to surrender because of the American successes, which they were going to then surrender because of the Russian advance. Russia was getting ready to invade from the north. So Japan would have faced the Americans in the Pacific and the Russians coming in from the north. Japan could not have withstood that. They were totally ready to give up, and they did give up. And they had been putting out peace feelers for a year before the actual Nagasaki and Hiroshima bombing happened.
And speaking of people with libido dominandi that want to destroy human life, talk about this guy Adelson you were telling me about.
Oh yeah, yeah, this is just mind-blowing. So Sheldon, I think that's how I say it, yeah, Sheldon Adelson, a rich billionaire, I guess that's redundant, but a billionaire. He was the one, if you remember, he was the big backer of Newt Gingrich back in the Republican primary, the last one. He's been quoted, he did an interview, and he says about the ongoing negotiations, you know, the new thing that people should be excited about, the possible deal with Iran, the rapprochement, the Obama goes to China moment, if he can figure out how to be better or at least as good as Nixon, which he hasn't figured out yet. But Sheldon says, you know, what we should do is take a bomb, a nuclear bomb, drop it in the middle of the Iranian desert, and then say, see, the next one's going to be in the middle of Tehran. So, man, you know, we mean business.
What a horrible human being.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like people don't live in that desert, but we'll be back in just a bit.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
Do you want to raise your children outside of the government indoctrination camps that are today's public schools? Check out the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right of freedomfiends.com. The Ron Paul Curriculum is a liberty-based K-12 homeschool course. It covers history, liberty, geography, math, science, and free market economics. Kindergarten through fifth grade are free. Then it's only $250 per family per year. Click on the Ron Paul Curriculum link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you had a good trip to the market. I know we did. My name's Nima Vedati, in case you didn't already know. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end. Not to be confused with the warmongering Michael Ledeen, who is also a talk radio show host.
Really?
Who said he wants to bomb. Yeah, yeah. He says things like, let's turn the Middle East into a boiling cauldron, and then everything will be better.
Ugh. Man, I don't understand. When I was a kid, all of the red state kind of people didn't like Israel. They were like, we don't like them Irish and them Jews and them blacks and them Mexicans.
Did they not like Israel, though, or did they not like Jews?
They didn't know what Israel was. And now all the red state people are like, I mean, you can't run for Republican president or Democrat president without like kissing the ring of Israel.
Yeah.
And I want to make a clear distinction here. I'm not bashing Jewish people. I just don't like that. I don't like states. I don't like governments. I don't like people that blow up children.
Yeah.
And all the countries do it. All the countries are doing it. But Israel influences America more than any other nation to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people make the joke that Israel is the 51st state, but smart people will point out, no. It's the first state.
Yeah.
It's the capital. The capital of the United States is in Tel Aviv, not Washington, D.C.
And there's a poster that's an American flag with a soldier on it, and it says, join the U.S. Army and fight for Israel. And that's kind of the way – I mean, it's like all of America's enemies are Arabs or Persians or, you know, people in the Middle East who are not of Israel. And that nation was carved out by the UN and the UK, or the proto-UN and the UK and the US, to send refugees from Europe to. They basically said, hey, you Palestinians, get out of your homes. We're going to bulldoze them and make a new nation here. So I can see why Palestinians are upset, you know, at Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be kind of like,
really,
I mean, picture,
they should be.
Picture the, you know, the patriots listening to this who own rifles. Like, picture if someone from a foreign land came into your home and said, you're going to get out. You're going to go over there to this, like, Indian reservation kind of place, and we're just going to let these people from this other country live in your house, in your town.
Yeah.
Think about how you'd react and feel about that.
Right, right. It's modern day colonialism. I mean, it's closest example, or I guess analog, would be South Africa, you know. And some people say, well, maybe we should organize some kind of boycott, because there's really no disincentives now, no short-term disincentives now for Israel to stop doing what they're doing as far as increasing settlements, taking more land, displacing more Palestinians. So maybe there should be some kind of economic consequences. Maybe people should refuse to buy Israeli products or something. But I don't even know about that, because then it seems too
similar that just
to
punishes
sanctions.
That just punishes the people. That doesn't punish the government.
That's true. That's
and
true.
People
I guess
don't
I
know the difference. People always want to like bomb a country back to the Stone Age. And when you're most of what you're bombing when you do that, when your nation does that, is people who don't have a choice in what they are. They don't have any choice in, you know, here we don't really have a choice either. You could be Democrat or Republican, but you're co-signing the same murder and aggression and throwing people in cages for things that aren't bad and eminent domain and spying on everybody, whether you vote Republican or Democrat in America.
Right, right. Collective responsibility and collective punishment are the tools of collectivists. And as libertarian, we're individualists. So why should we do something that's similar to sanctions? You know, the sanctions on Iran mean that companies that sell medicine are too scared or are not able to sell medicine to people in Iran, so that old ladies and kids who need medicine the most can't get it. And then they die.
Yeah.
Sanctions are an act of war. It's not we'll just do some sanctions and everything will be hunky-dory.
And if you're agreeing with most of what you're hearing on this show and agreeing with what Nima, my co-host Nima Vedati, is saying, and you're thinking, yeah, I agree with all that, but those Iranians are bad people and it's a good thing if they starve. Nima is he's born in Texas, but his dad was born in Iran. So, you know, if you want to like starve kids over there, you're starving his cousins that he's never met and he can't go meet, because if he goes to visit, you know, where his grandfather lives, they'll throw
him in
the
Iranian state will terrorize
they'll
me. They'll
throw you
me
in the army.
The military.
Yeah.
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 It's a geographical area that is besieged by more than one state government apparatus terrorizing its people. And so yeah, I definitely realize that the flaw is in the state. It's not in the people. It's not in Iranians. It's not because people were born in a specific area. It's not in Israel because people were born in a specific area. It's not even in America where people were born in a specific area. It's the concept of the state. It's the concept that a massive top-down hierarchy is legitimate when they decide who dies, who lives where, who buys what, and when. That is the flaw that I am attacking, that Michael and me attack on a daily basis. And stay tuned for more of it after this trip to the market.
That was a passionate, feisty libertarian rant there, Nima. I liked it.
Thank you.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio. Radio. Show.
Radio.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm Nima Vedati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the
wild.
I would say sticks, but there's not many trees.
So there's not many sticks. Yeah, I mean the there's no windows to open in the windowless bunker, but I opened the blast door.
The blast
door. So you might hear the wind. It's a very rather windy day here, and in Wyoming where they use logging chains as wind socks.
Yes.
So I have a correction from yesterday's show. We're talking about how one day government will be considered like a vestigial organ, like the appendix, something that exists. You know, the appendix, they say, existed for digesting raw meat. And now that people cook, they don't need it and it can be removed and sometimes becomes inflamed.
Although it could come back into fashion with primal eating.
Well, it's not actually known what it's for. The theory is that people weren't keeping records that long ago, and some people don't believe you. The world's been here that long; they believe it's only been here 6,000 years. So who knows?
There you go.
But I called. We said that one day the state, the government, you know, maybe it'll still be there. There'll still be people who go to those marble buildings that'll be decaying and have no electricity in them, and they'll sit there with their medals and their flags and polish the rewards.
Their certificate for killing 100 or 1600 people with the drone, like the guy received.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the gamer thing? Beyond 1600? Something like that.
Over 9,000.
Over 1600. He got his over 1600 reward. Yeah. So maybe someday in a perfect world where people listen to the fiends and don't listen to left wing and right wing radio and listen to the real wing, which is the no wing, which is the only argument isn't left versus right. The only real argument is tyranny versus freedom. And we're on the side of freedom.
We should call it top fin, you know, cause we're not part of the bird of prey. We're a killer whale.
We're not a killer whale. Yeah. Anyway, so I said vestal. I said the state will be a vestal organ, and I meant vestigial. I also said you don't need a law to practice license in colonial America. Yeah. Our torrent master, yes. Sean, pointed that out to me. But
thank you, Sean.
I said vestal instead of vestigial. I couldn't have said a more wrong word, because vestal implies purity, the vestal virgins, relating to the Roman goddess Vesta, the goddess of hearth and home. And the vestal virgins were keepers of the temple flame, a symbol of purity and dedication. And that is not what the state is, man. The state, the government, the tyrants who tell you what to do and take your money, they are not pure. But they are vestigial, and I looked up the definition of that, and it definitely describes politicians and the government. It's occurring or persisting as a rudimentary or degenerate structure.
That's totally the state. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that definition. We should start using that as the definition for the state and see if people get the switch. That'd be great. But, you know, it is a good – I think the appendix is a great metaphor because it might hurt for a little bit to get it out. And I think right now we are having appendicitis, right? I mean, that's what all the unrest in the world is, isn't it? I mean, the economy tanking, the warfare state, Obamacare not working but them still acting like at some point it's going to save people. People are realizing more and more that it's nothing but pain and more pain coming, and a lot of people are confused as to how to deal with that. But I think the answer is an appendectomy, right? Isn't that what they call it when they remove the appendix?
Yeah,
we need a state appendectomy,
and it'll hurt and you'll have to be in bed for a few days recovering, but then you'll be much better, you know,
better than if you left it in, right?
The way that they're describing Obamacare kind of reminds me of the thing I saw on 30 Rock where Jack goes and works for the leaves the private sector and GE, that's not really the private sector, that's the military bomb complex that also makes light bulbs. But and they don't pay taxes, which is kind of mind-blowing. GE, like one year, a few years back, paid like $40 in taxes for all the trillions they brought in from the government. But
all their money comes from or a lot of their money comes from military contracts anyway. So they're net tax eaters.
Yeah. So Jack goes and works for the Department of Homeland Security, and there's like in his office, there's a leak in the roof, like water is dripping in on his desk from the roof. And he says to, you know, someone else in the office, can we get this leak fixed? And the other DHS guy, you know, executive says, oh, there's no leak. We did a study. That's not a leak.
Right.
So going into exactly Obamacare, let's read this thing from Steve. We'll get to Roxbury's mom later or tomorrow. But Steve wrote to me and said, you read Steve's part, I'll read my part.
All right, I will. Steve asked, what does Steve sound like? What kind of guy is Steve?
A Fiend fan. I'll do my He's a Fiend.
A Fiend fan. Yeah. So I'll use my Fiend voice. One thing I've noticed both you and Ian do is stopping someone when they use a technical term and either defining it or asking the speaker to do so. Like when Nima says something and then you say, wait, Nima, back up. Define the aggression principle. I was under the impression this is a rule of talk radio and everybody does that, but my friend who's a fan of Rush disagrees and says Rush doesn't stop to review terms he already knows for the listener. Is it something that you just do because the Fiends are a teaching hospital?
And I said, Rush's fans listen to him every day for decades, but the Fiends define things because we assume we have new listeners all the time since we're relatively new on radio. We'll probably still do it from time to time when we become more established because we are a teaching hospital, and what Rush does has no effect or influence on me since most of what he says is wrong.
Now what do you mean by that, Michael? And that's me, that's not Steve.
Yeah, I'm not some liberal saying Rush is horrible, those Republicans are horrible. I mean, I agree with what a lot of what conservative talk radio people say. They're pro-gun, they don't like Obama, they don't like more taxes, they don't like being told what to do. But I think that all of them are asking the wrong question. Like, for instance, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about Obamacare and how it's going to fail and how it's socialism and how it's fascism. I was listening to Hannity in the car later, and Hannity was basically saying the same things. And then he said, and after this break, which was like 12 minutes of commercials, it was mind blowing. He said, after this, like, I was home. I didn't get to hear what he was pre-gaming on your campaign, but he was like, he said, and after this break, we'll have more on why Obamacare will fail with our guest, Dick Cheney. And I'm like, Dick Cheney, he's part of the problem, man. Like, do you want a left fascist like Obama, or do you want a right fascist like Dick Cheney? I mean, that guy.
Well, some people on the left have called Obamacare Cheney care because 90% of it is stuff that either he'd love or has proposed at some time.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically Romney care. It's basically Romney's plan that he put into force in Massachusetts. Just kind of retooled, and it's Obamacare's not even as good as Romney care, and Romney was wrong to do that because he was forcing people to do stuff in Massachusetts. So it's not left versus right. And also, Rush gets really mean and petty with people for no reason, like calling Sandra Fluke a prostitute and a slut because she wanted free anti-baby pills from the government. I don't care if unmarried women are on birth control. I would call Sandra Fluke, you know, an unintentional thief because she wants the government to point guns at everyone else's head and take something for her. But most Republicans have the same kind of stuff too. They're like, well, we want to protect our farm subsidies and we want to have a strong military that can bomb everything around Israel except Israel and everything
but
else.
The problem with Fluke isn't that she wants to have sex. The problem with Fluke is that she's not principled or at least ignorant of what it actually means.
Right.
Or she just doesn't care because she's taking the resources that are there. The problem is hate the game, don't hate the player, right? You don't hear Rush complaining about the roots of the system. He's just complaining about this woman who's taking advantage of something that is meant or at least there to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Rush as a broadcaster. He kind of carved out what feisty talk radio is. It didn't really exist like this except on shortwave before him. I have respect for him for that. I have respect for him. I like when he talks about his personal journey of pulling himself up by his bootstraps, and he's not talking about politicians and where they should point guns, but rather he's talking about, you know, building it. I like when he builds it, man. I like when he builds it. But
when he built that, yeah.
And I agree with 98% of what he says is wrong with Obama, but I really hate how a lot of conservative people and outspoken conservative people hate liberals, but then they think that Republican politicians are the answer to those problems.
Better.
And the liberals do the same thing, man. The liberals are like, I mean, they'll be bashing things that Republicans do, like trying to control people's lives of things that have no victim by passing laws.
Right.
But the next part of the joke of that liberal stand-up comedian is always how Democrats are cool and will save us from all that.
Yep.
And I'm like, no, man, they're all horrible. So I think that conservative and liberal talk radio people generally are asking the wrong question. The real question is tyranny versus personal liberty. So let's go on. This was a side thing on reading a letter from a fan where I was explaining why I said I think a lot of what Rush does is wrong or says is wrong.
Right. And the broader context is why we define things, terms that our regulars probably know already, but we like to define things anyway. And this is that conversation. So
okay.
Steve wrote back.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess Ian and Mark are just being nice guys then because they do that a lot.
He's talking about Free Talk
Live.
It's
great. Right. It's great, but I can see why most radio shows would already have an established audience listening to them and wouldn't feel the need to do that.
And I said, their audience is much more established than ours, but Free Talk Live adds affiliates like weekly, you know, so they have new listeners every week. Also, I think it's just good radio to define it. I think Rush is being kind of insular and closed in by not doing it. That is, not defining terms and assuming your audience are all true believers when it comes off as kind of exclusive and not welcoming to anyone just tuning in for the first time. You know, it's like, we are the conservatives and we know what these terms mean. We're not going to explain them. You should know them. You know, it's kind of like, that seems like, it's not a cult, but it seems culty to me when there's a bunch of people using terms that aren't common, which is another reason why we explain them, because libertarian terms sound second nature to us, but they sound like they're from Mars to a large percentage of the population. Like when you and I say, yeah, good, politicians just want to point guns at our head. Like most people say, like, politicians don't point guns, but we're like, yeah, they do. They pass laws, and then if you disobey those laws, they try to arrest you. And if you resist, the cops point a gun at your head. The politicians direct the cops to point guns at you if you disobey their authority with paper, with stuff they write on paper. And it's also another reason.
The politicians pay for those guns to be pointed at your head. They
steal your money.
Handsomely
they steal your
the
money.
Gun pointers.
They steal your money with taxes.
Right.
And you know,
well,
one
of the things Spooner points out, we were talking about Spooner yesterday, is he says that the government, just like the military that Caesar talked about, I think it was Caesar, some Roman, said that troops and money are self-reinforcing, right? Because if you have money, you can buy troops, or in this case, cops. And then you can use those troops or cops to make sure that you extract more money.
Yep. And another reason I define terms is what I do for a living is I write technical manuals and how-to things on like filmmaking and media production. And you have to have sections in those books for the absolute beginner as well as the intermediate and advanced users. So I'm used to doing things that way. And NEMA comes from TV news, which is aimed at everyone. So you kind of have to define things.
Right. Yep. And we'll be back with more definitions when we get back.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yep, it's the Freedom Fiends live talk radio show. Thank you so much for sticking with us. We are at the bottom of hour two. If you missed anything, or you missed the whole thing, or you're just now hearing us and you want to know what it's about, go to freedomfiends.com. You can check out the archives there. That's freedom, FEENS.com.
You can buy buttons there too, and we're having a 10 for 5 sale through through Hollow Fiend. And we also need a Python programmer. If you program in that computer language, write us. There's a contact link on freedomfiends.com. And before we go to the tweak and review, we wanted to just read something really funny. That's someone bashing a statist. It's really funny. There's, you know, what trolling is when people like yell at people on the internet anonymously. And this is an interesting trolling technique I've never seen. On the Pirate Bay site, where you can download the printable gun files, somebody named Roxbury, who I think is in Europe from what he said, says, "I love you people." Think, like, he's being sarcastic. "I love you people. Thinking governments are going to steal your guns, the UN is your enemy, and Obama is Satan. Put your efforts into helping people and building trust in your community instead of finding ways for criminals to get weapons for free." And then someone who was trying to counter that made an account called Roxbury's Mom, and then posted this about Roxbury.
I hope it was actually Roxbury's mom. If not, a great way to counter troll.
Yeah.
Yes, a counter trolling division. That's definitely needs to be in the book. But Roxbury's mom says, "Please excuse my son's comment. He hasn't done anything in life and resorts to hating on others who have done work. He hates seeing other people do projects that get global recognition because the only thing he has ever done is download pornography off of this website. I wish my son was more like Defense Distributed."
And Defense Distributed is Cody Wilson, our friend in Texas, who came up with the proof of concept actual working printable gun. And then other people took it. Yeah, and that was a good example of the free market, because he did it. The government came along and said, "We're not free market. We're going to throw you in prison if you keep hosting these files." But they were already out there. And then not only were they out there, other people improved on them and made multiple shot weapons.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people say, well, look at all the vast technology we have and look at where the world is today, and it's so much better. And there's been a government over it the whole time.
But, yeah, it's only everything that's bad about technology is because of states, because of governments. Like when I was a kid, I had walkie-talkies and phones were a limited resource, and I had a fantasy of something I could hold in my hand, like the Star Trek communicator, where I could talk to anybody in the world. And I didn't think about whether it's free or would be expensive, because I was a kid and, you know, didn't have to pay for things like you do when you're a little kid. But basically, we now have that. Like, an Android phone with Skype on it is a walkie-talkie where you can talk for free to anybody in the world. And the only reason,
video chat.
The only downside of that is governments want to, like, regulate it and tax it and spy on it and control it. Without that,
well, and the telecom industry is one of the least regulated, but yes, you still have to follow a lot of rules, regulations as far as putting up towers and things like that. To where, it's mostly major players in the game. It's hard to start a telecom company out of your bedroom, you know, or out of your garage. But yeah, I think you're right. I think all of the technology, the vast stuff we have, is in spite of the state. It's workarounds, and the innovation is usually people doing workarounds or trying to start it out. By being pirates, by being different, by not following the rules at first, like Steve Jobs working out of his garage, as opposed to IBM, which was, you know,
well, yeah,
the government
and,
military defense contract.
And he's the guy who, like, basically put a home computer in everyone's home and hand. And without him, someone else would have done it, but probably not as brilliantly or as quickly. And computers would probably still be out of reach of the average person, would probably still be the size of a refrigerator, if not bigger. And he got his start selling little boxes he made that allowed you to make free long-distance phone calls. He was basically a phone hacker breaking the law, and he used that technical acumen to make home computers.
Yeah. So in spite of the state, imagine what we would have without the burden of the state. We would have our flying cars, and I guess that's the only thing we're missing from the Jetsons is flying cars and houses on poles. I don't really want the houses on poles, but flying cars would be cool.
Well, think about the guy who first proved that the sun didn't revolve around the earth, but rather the earth around
Galileo.
The sun.
Galileo.
You know, the church, which was the state at the time, threatened to kill him for telling people that.
Yep. It's the same thing nowadays. And listen to more Freedom Fiends. We'll be back. Listen to the Wednesday cast and visit us next weekend. Thanks, folks.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Yep. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.